Good morning. Great to see you all this morning. There's one thing I wanted that I didn't add to the announcements. After the service, after we have some fellowship, we're going to start moving chairs out here and moving them into the kids' room and setting some tables up. So if anybody would like to help with that, we'd appreciate it. Okay, so if you have your Bible, you can open up to Romans chapter 4. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And if you're using the church Bible, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12 is on page 1014. So last week, we read Paul's explanation of justification. Paul taught his readers that justification comes by faith, apart from the law. And justification, being made just or right in God's eyes, wasn't just for Jewish believers. It was also for the Gentiles as well. It's for everyone. Through his grace and his mercy, God offers righteousness to anyone who puts their trust in Christ. In our passage this morning, Paul is still teaching that justification comes through faith, not works. The difference is, this time, he's illustrating his point by looking at the faith of Abraham. So let's read through Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And in order to keep it into context, I'm going to start with chapter 3, verses 28. So chapter 3, verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. So now chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Is this blessing then on the circumcised, or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message this morning. Thank you for using Paul, first of all, to point out our need for a Savior, and now as he points out that we do have one if we choose. Father, we thank you for what you're going to show us in this message this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds are open to hear your word and that you help us to see how we can apply this to our lives. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever tried to convince people to change their minds when they were absolutely sure they were right? It's not easy to do. I mean, you've made all the right arguments, but they're still defiant. Their mind is made up, and they don't want to hear the facts. So all you can do at this point is use an illustration. Use some kind of example that demonstrates the truth. And it shows absolutely why they must change their minds. Well, that's what Paul does in chapter 4. In chapter 3, he's already established the fact that salvation doesn't come through the law, and that the only basis for justification is through Christ's atoning death on the cross. And he's also proven that righteousness doesn't come through works. It comes through faith alone. And not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile as well. So now in chapter 4, Paul backs up this truth by showing that this was the way that Abraham was made right with God. So notice that Paul starts in verse 1 with a rhetorical question, and he does it again in verse 3. So this indicates, if you remember back in chapter 3, this indicates that he's again talking to a fictional, unpersuaded Jew. And Paul is addressing the objections he would anticipate from this fictional character. And one of these objections might have been, how does this doctrine of justification by faith relate to our history? So Paul chose Abraham to illustrate his point. No doubt because Abraham was the most notable patriarch in Jewish history. Abraham was revered by the Jews as the father of the Jewish people, referring primarily to the fact that Jews are natural and physical descendants of Abraham. But he was also held in high esteem by the rabbis. He was the epitome of righteousness in their eyes. He was even a special friend to God. And they took it for granted that he'd been justified by works of righteousness. And to address this anticipated objection, Paul starts off in verses 1 through 3 by taking a look at point number 1, Abraham's justification. The verses 1 through 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul asks, what has Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? And what Paul's referring to is the points he made back in chapter 3, verses 27 through 31. And he's asking, how can these points be seen in the life of Abraham? Was Abraham declared righteous when he left Ur of Chaldeans, a place of real sophistication and wealth? Was he justified then? No. Was it when Abraham took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah in order to offer him as a sacrifice? Did God declare him justified then? No, he didn't. God declared Abraham righteous when Abraham simply believed him. And Paul quoted this from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, which says, then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And then Paul states that if Abraham was justified by what he had done, as they thought he was, he would be able to boast about it, but only to men. So Paul isn't saying that good works are wrong. He's saying that works can never lead to salvation. So Abraham couldn't boast before God because whatever he'd done for works, that wasn't sufficient for his salvation. What Paul is telling the Jewish readers, and these Jewish readers know the Scriptures very well, he's telling them to think about it. God didn't declare Abraham righteous when he was doing something spiritual or doing something sacrificial. He was pronounced righteous when he simply believed God. It wasn't what Abraham did. It was his faith that God took and counted as righteousness. It was all an act of God. All the glory belongs to God, not Abraham. People are saved by faith. God takes a person's faith and counts it, that faith, as righteousness. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, "We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." So the only way a person can be saved, the only way they can have their sins forgiven, is by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting Him with their life. And that leads into our second point. God counts believers' faith as righteousness. Verses 4 through 8. "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account." So Paul makes the point that when a person works for someone, the paycheck they get isn't a gift. It's owed to them. The person that they'd work for is in debt to them. So if a person could work for righteousness, that is, work so that God would owe them righteousness, then God would owe man. But God, being God, is completely self-sufficient. He can never be put into debt to any person. But now a person who doesn't try to work for righteousness, but instead puts their faith in Christ, Him who justifies the ungodly, God credits that person's faith as righteousness. And if you remember back in chapter 2, that's what Paul was referring to in verses 28 and 29, he said, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." Then in verses 7 and 8, Paul quotes what David wrote in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, about how blessed a man is when his sins are forgiven. Verses 7 and 8. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account." So once we put our faith in Christ, once we trust Him, and through that, God declares us righteous, He no longer sees us as a sinner. If you look in the New Testament, the word sinner is not used to describe a believer. Sinner is only used to describe an unbeliever. See, when God looks at a believer, He doesn't see their sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ covering us. You know, we use the word believer a lot. So I just want to clarify what it means when someone is referred to as a believer. Now, a believer isn't just somebody that believes in God. Everyone knows there's a God. Jesus said that even the demons believe in God. A true believer, that's someone who's put their trust, their faith in Jesus Christ, and they've turned their life over to His control. They've stopped living their lives for their own desires and are living their lives for what God desires, for what's right in His eyes. There are a lot of people out there who say they believe in God, but they haven't put their faith in Christ, which means they haven't had their sins forgiven. They haven't been declared righteous by God. Jesus refers to people like that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, when He said, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to Me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, and in Your name cast out demons, and in Your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So if a person hasn't put their faith in Christ, it doesn't matter what they do or what they think they're doing for God. They're not saved. They're not going to heaven. So it's important for everyone to understand that it isn't what you do. It isn't even how much faith you have. It's who you put your faith in that matters. That's the difference between life and death. Listen to what Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." He gives everyone the opportunity to have their sins forgiven, to be made new by the Holy Spirit, if we just choose to put our faith in Christ. And then our final point, number 3, righteousness through faith is given to everyone who believes. Verses 9 through 12. "Is this blessing then on the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are the circumcision, but also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised." So when Paul's referring to the circumcised, he's referring to the Jewish people. And when he's referring to the uncircumcised, he's referring to the Gentiles or everyone else. And to the Jew, circumcision was everything. It proved his Jewishness. It proved his worthiness. So it would have really captured their attention when Paul asked the question, is it only the circumcised Jew who can be declared righteous? Or can the uncircumcised Gentile be declared righteous as well? And Paul asked a second question. Was Abraham's faith credited to him as righteousness before or after he was circumcised? And Paul points out that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness before he was ritually circumcised. See, God hadn't even given the circumcision as a sign yet. So Paul's already proven that Abraham wasn't justified because of his works. And now he proves that Abraham's justification isn't based on circumcision either. And at this point, Paul found it necessary to explain what circumcision means. He said that it is a sign and a seal. So as a sign, it was evidence that he belonged to God, that he believed the promise God made to him that he would have many descendants. And as a seal, it was a reminder to him that God had given him that promise and God will keep it. So in the church today, we have a sign and a seal as well. We get baptized as a sign that we now belong to Christ and that we believe his promises. And we take communion as a reminder of what Christ has done for us and our continued commitment to him. And Paul finishes by saying that Abraham was declared righteous before he was circumcised, so that he could be the father of both uncircumcised Gentile believers and circumcised Jewish believers. So once again, Paul has made the point that justification, being made just or right in God's eyes, it doesn't come from doing good deeds. It only comes through faith in Christ alone. And Paul also reiterated the point that the righteousness of God is given to everyone who puts their faith in Christ, not just some specific ethnic or social group, everyone. And it doesn't matter what a person has done in the past. God's righteousness is available to everyone who turns away from this sinful lifestyle and puts their faith in Christ. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God doesn't want anyone to spend eternity separated from him in hell. You know, that's why he saved us, so that we can tell people about Jesus and what he's done for them. So that we can tell them that they don't have to spend eternity separated from God. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. The world around us is rapidly deteriorating. And the Bible tells us that it's going to continue to do so until Christ returns. There are people all around us that haven't heard about Jesus. And as Christians, we've all been called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone who's willing to listen. Because God's righteousness is given to everyone who believes. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're such an awesome God. You're the God that changes life, that picks us up out of the miry clay and stands us on the solid rock of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your offer of salvation. We thank you for for declaring our faith as righteousness, Father. Father, we pray that we feel this so deep in our hearts and our souls that we can't help but to share it with others. There are so many hurting souls out there, so many people just going about their business totally unaware of where they're going. So I pray that you give us the boldness, the confidence to step out into the world and shine your light and share your word to everyone who's willing to listen.